Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, you may have heard that sales for electric vehicles in Ireland are down 14.2% in the first 3 months compared to last year, despite the overall new car market growing by 8%. So what's going on? And is the EV dream over? I'm delighted now to be joined by Philip Nolan. He's a motoring writer with the Daily Mail. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Bobby.
Now, Philip, let's look at some of the reasons behind this drop. All seem to be going well. If we look at the reasons maybe why EVs aren't maybe the superstar that they used to be, let's look at the range and the overstating by the motor companies by as much as, I suppose, quarter on a good day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the motoring companies themselves. All cars now are subject to the WLTP test, which is the World Harmonized Light Testing Program. And, you know, those figures are independently assessed in real-world world conditions, allegedly. But that said and done, you're absolutely correct. I mean, by and large, as a rule of thumb, I would lop at least a quarter off the headline figure and maybe a third. But I would stress that that's because much of my driving is actually on the motorway. The one thing you're going to do to a battery to run it down is drive at a consistent 120 kilometers an hour on a motorway and not brake. Whereas in urban areas, when you're braking, you're actually feeding, you know, charge back into the battery with regenerated energy. So urban figures tend to be more realistic. It's when you leave the cities that you have the
figures. Yeah. And like range, that's when range becomes the issue, because you're going a distance. So if you're driving from Dublin to Galway to Cork to Waterford, it's motorway the whole way. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had an issue in early December. My nephew was getting married in the wilds of Donegal, the far northwest. And I live in North Wexford. And I had an EV that week. And it was, you know, it was a challenge because, to be on the safe side, I stopped in Julianstown. Then I went cross country to Donegal. The hotel said they could charge the car. But it turned out that actually they were charging on a 3-pin plug. And I was driving a Mercedes EQS, which on a 3-pin plug would take 56 hours to fully charge. That's an issue. I did eventually, I got as far as Killybegs, found a fast charger, still stopped again in Cavan and stopped again at the M11 services in Gorey just to make sure I'd have enough to get back the next morning. So you have to plan to an extent. It simply isn't necessary when you just go to a petrol station and fill the car with petrol.
I'm an EV driver as well, Philip, and I have to confess, and I've said it publicly, I often just take my wife's car if I'm going on a long trip.
I think for a lot of people that actually is the pattern, is that you have one of each, and that makes an awful lot of sense. But if you're a family with only one car,
sure,
and you're driving mostly locally, they're ideal. But the minute you have to go any distance at all, you're faced with the problem of finding chargers, finding unoccupied chargers, finding chargers that aren't out of order. There are just so many issues in terms of the public infrastructure that need to be addressed.
Absolutely. And if we look at the costs, I saw in your own article recently, you quoted that in charging at home in 2020, you were being charged 17 cents per kilowatt. That's now risen to 42 cents, which is almost three times the price.
Yes, and don't forget that if you're on the public chargers, on the fast ones, you're paying up to 73 cents.
Which is over four times that price.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have a car with a 100 kilowatt hour battery, you're looking at 73 euro to fill it. And in terms of the distance you get, I mean, you know, there are many factors in play, but like you probably would get further on diesel. I drove a Mercedes CLE recently, and on a full tank of diesel, the range was 1,200 kilometres. Like, that would get me from home here in North Wexford to the south of France if I took the ferry without ever having to stop.
Yeah, that's amazing. What about when we look at, I suppose, the capital costs of buying an EV? Would I be right in saying, on average, they're probably 25% more?
Yeah, or maybe even a little more than that. And again, obviously, the grant was 5,000. That's been reduced now to 3,500. So that added to the initial purchase price. And also there's a cap. So, you know, if you're going into the executive car EV market, then there's no subsidy at all, effectively. So it is an issue for people. And I think this is a blip, to be honest with you, Bobby. And I'll tell you why. Like in 2018, electric cars accounted for 1% of the market. And even now, they're even with this year's kind of slight decline, they're still at almost, 12%. So I think that what's happened is that the early adopters, and that would probably be people like you who maybe are environmentally aware, who, not to put too fine a point on it, have a few bobs, so your choice can be, but your choice can be, it doesn't have to be governed necessarily by economics. Whereas for other people who are trying to replace the family car, let's say, it is an issue because they probably will end up paying 5, 6, 8, 10,000 euro more than the same car in its petrol or diesel incarnation.
So. Yeah, and you're right when you say that. But like, surely if the government want us to adapt and want, you know, to do something around the green agenda, like taking away incentives, not having the proper infrastructure, like these all seem to be going against, because however green anybody is, if you go against their wallet, i.e. if you make it more expensive, you're not going to get willing adaptation.
No, you're not. But then that said and done, I also do have a slight issue with the subsidies in the first place, insofar as they do tend to favour the people who are better off at the expense. It's almost like transfer of wealth from people who are living hand to mouth and then find out that, you know, 5,000 euro of their tax money and now 3,500 of their tax money is being given to people who very likely could probably afford the car without the subsidy anyway, Bobby. Let's be honest. I stop a lot at public chargers. And the profile of people who drive, I'm 60. Pretty much everybody I meet is probably between 40 and 70, but you don't see people who are 22 or 23 in their first car driving cars.
I think that's a good observation. If we look at depreciation, Philip, so if I buy an EV today, the first year's depreciation seems to be inordinate. It seems to be absolutely massive. So that's putting people off as well, in that, you know, the value, particularly the early years of the car, that the fall in value is huge.
It is, because I mean, obviously, you know, there are fears about battery depreciation. I think a lot of them unfounded. I know one major survey in the States, which I think is kind of taken as the Bible now. You can expect about 2% depletion in a battery per year compounded. So after the 8 years of the battery warranty, you're probably down to about 70, 73% capacity still. So I don't think it's a massive issue, to be honest. But I understand why people are fearful, because it's new. And that's the whole point about any technology we adopt, is that we actually, in many ways, don't know the longevity of battery electric cars.
Yeah.
As a consequence of that, people are finding that they are getting lower resale values.
Yeah, no, like, I have to say, and I think maybe you've said it as well, while the network and the charging network, as far as I'm concerned, can only get better. But I would buy an EV again on the basis of even the current experience, because I think they're a lovely car to drive. And I think, you know, when with maybe you don't know you're paying because it's on the ESP bill, it's maybe hard to actually work out how much it's actually costing you. But it certainly feels cheap because you're not putting petrol or diesel in every week.
Exactly. And I mean, if most of your charging is at home, then the one great thing about it is the convenience. You know, it's like plugging in your phone overnight. You just go to bed. You can schedule the time.
Wake up with a full tank.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, on that basis, you're not stuck. But again, I think for other people, the idea of having bigger electricity bills makes it seem, I don't know, more immediate. And a lot of people I know who have EVs have also installed solar PVs, but that's not a cheap investment either.
No.
And when people I get free electricity from the sun. Well, you don't get free electricity from the sun. You've paid whatever, anywhere between 7 and 12, maybe 1,000 euro for the panels. So you'd need to sit down. One thing I always say to people, Bobby, is do your sums. You know, check your weekly mileage in a petrol car and a diesel car. Find out how much that would cost you in electricity to charge an EV. Find out how much you would save if you put in solar panels. But it has to be, you know, a rational, logical, intellectual sure. decision. And for me, at 60, investing maybe €12,000 in solar panels, I would never see the return on that investment. So it's not an option for me.
Well, here's your brother. I looked at it last year and said, I'm not doing that because it won't pay off in my lifetime. So,
I'd love to do it. I live in a single-story house with a huge roof in the sunny southeast, allegedly. And my house is south-facing. I could probably generate bundles of electricity off panels on the roof, but I'm just not going to do it because I can't afford it.
All right. Well, in summary then, there's a bit of a blip is what you're saying, but EV is still the way to go, and we shouldn't be concerned that these figures are leading to a trend against them.
No, I think the Chinese imports are bringing prices down, though they will face, I think, import tariffs at the end of the year from the EU. But equally, I think a lot of people, because they know the deadline is maybe 2030, 2035, they probably think they'll get a hybrid or another one final petrol or diesel car before they're compelled to go electric. So I think it's a blip. I think the early adopters are gone. I think that the prices have to come down. And when that happens and the network is boosted nationally on the infrastructure level, I think that they will become much more attractive again.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Philip. Thanks for your analysis and indeed your commentary. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.